It's Monday, October 30th, 2006, and you're listening to episode 25 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 1 hour and 1 minute. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan, and with me is Chad.
Howdy.
Adam.
Hi.
And Dawn.
Hello.
Before we get into the meat of the episode, I wanted to mention one or two things that's going on with our forums, which are at feartheboot.com. If you've been listening to the show for a while and you haven't emailed us, haven't stopped by the forums, please do so. This show thrives on your guys' feedback, and we decide a lot of things we're doing by what you guys tell us. So,
and thanks for the furry porn.
Yeah. So Chaos really did deliver.
Did get some?
Oh, he
I got
a lot.
So much porn. it forwards to my Gmail account,
oh,
and it's just like entry after entry after entry of porn. Yes. And I'm like, I'm not the kind of guy. I'm not the kind of guy who's against porn, but then you click it open, and then it's like, hey, what is that?
If this is your first time tuning in, many episodes ago, Adam wasn't here, so we mentioned to everyone that he loves furry porn, so you should send him a ton.
Many episodes. You mean last
episode? No, many episodes ago.
Yeah.
Nobody did. So
nobody
then last episode, we mentioned again your love of furry porn that no one was fulfilling, and it sounds
your
like...
unrequited love.
Yeah, and it sounds like...
So what's your favorite kind
Chaos
of...
Chaos stepped up to the plate here.
What's your favorite kind of furry porn?
Yeah, all right.
Do you like...
I'm never going to miss an episode again.
All right,
I just have to ask you one thing.
Mark on dog. Just have to ask you one thing, Adam, before we move off this topic. What is the most disturbing image you received? And, of course, keep it PG-rated in your description, but if there's one thing that has just seared shut your mind's eye, what was it?
I didn't get any of that over that bad.
Oh. Tame.
He's warming up to it.
No, the way that Gmail does it is it shows you the thumbnails, and you have to click on the thumbnails before you... I mean, you can kind of make out, dude, what is that thing doing to that other thing? Maybe I don't want to click that.
Huh. Well, thank you, Chaos, for doing that. He loves
and
this stuff.
And anybody else, too.
Yeah, right. So don't believe for a moment his modesty on the subject.
Oh, yeah.
We know what he likes. So right. Now, speaking of artwork, right now we are running a contest on our forums. I guess it's two episodes ago, I think it was in 23, somehow we brought up the phrase Baron von Badass, which several people got
The good Baron,
which several people got a kick out of. And so we are now running a contest. If you are an artist or you know someone that is an artist, stop by our forums, look for a category area called contests. Mm-hmm. And in there we have a thread started for a Baron von Badass art contest. The way this works is you draw us, paint us, I don't care what medium this is in, an image of Baron von Badass, send it to us. We're going to pick one as the winner. The one we pick, you're going to get a $30 coupon to Geek Label. You're going to get a t-shirt of the Baron if we get one made up, and probably some little other things we mentioned in there. We also, in that thread, give the rules for this. There's a fair number of them, so I don't want to read them all out now just to avoid boring people who don't care about this contest.
Sweet.
But the deadline for entries is you have to have an entry to us by November 18th. Noon Central Time, and someone did ask, you are allowed to enter as many times as you want. It's just the artwork has to be original, and you have to own it.
Unless you found furry porn on the internet.
And then send it to Adam at feartheboot.com. You know, he's not saying, but I bet his favorite image was the Hardvark.
The Hardvark.
Hardvark's on Viagra. Greatest thing to hit furry porn ever.
Now, this really isn't going to affect anyone that's listening too much, but I have some good news for us that make this show. We edit these out, but we regularly get screwed up because of dogs barking or cats running around or phone ringing. Mm-hmm. Sometime over the next couple months, we are going to clear out one of the upstairs bedrooms, and all of this setup is going to get moved upstairs to a room where we can actually close the door.
Yep.
And that's going to make recording this a lot easier.
Like that section where we just did the furry porn joke, took about 3.5 minutes to record that.
Right.
And we had to try it over 3 times because of dogs barking.
No, the dogs understand me.
They were trying to protect
The furry porn
you.
Joke didn't need to happen.
They knew.
When animals understand your furry porn, that's not a defense.
They just want
that's
you all
a self-indictment.
For themselves.
But Pearl looks so nice.
All right, now watch this transition. I'm going to draw two topics together.
Whoa.
We're talking about artwork, talked about moving all this stuff.
We talked about furry porn?
I said two topics. We're going to draw two topics together, not three.
You know, the flux capacitor could put all three together.
When we move upstairs and I take over that bedroom, I'm going to kind of make that room into sort of a personal workspace, and I'm looking to decorate it with things that are meaningful to me, which are mostly images caught in my own head.
Yes, if two you, animals.
Two animals.
With each other.
A wolf Boom. And a aardvark.
There's your third.
By the way, we were not having an art contest for the hard vark. If you can,
if actually, you can, Adam we is. Are now. Adam is. Adam,
Adam is. That's right. And no matter what you enter, Adam wins. But anyways, if it's similar, if you're an artist or you know someone who is an artist that does like character sketches or stuff on commission, have them send me an email, dan@feartheboot.com, or stop by the forums. I have a thread on there under shameless plugs about it. But if it's a hardvark, adam@feartheboot.com.
Right. And I'd like to tie in furry porn and hardvarks into another topic, Dan.
Okay.
Happy birthday, man.
Oh, it's thank you.
Daniel Reppinger's 30th birthday.
Thank you,
Happy
sir.
Happy birthday, Dan.
I'm officially an old man now.
You are. Welcome
no,
to
you
it.
Were an old man before
that. Actually, you know what? I have switched sides here. Usually we have Chad, you're over there by yourself in the 30s, mm-hmm. and then everyone else here kind of going around the side, you know, Dawn usually being John, is in their 20s, and now I am.
Dawn is John?
No.
Wait a minute, Dawn, aren't you 30?
The luckiest man alive.
Yes. I'm the oldest.
That's why I said Dawn normally being John.
Oh, my God, this is the old convention.
How old are you, Adam?
23.
You'll get there.
23? I thought you were like 25.
No.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm 23.
Man.
Yeah. He was but a babe when I found him he's and like, introduced him to D&D.
We're over here doing Shakespeare, and he's doing like Captain Underpants.
You should have seen his first characters.
My first characters were genius.
Except that was Adam Underpants.
Pretty much.
Captain Adam Underpants.
Oh. Okay.
We're going to talk about something today.
Some meat. We are talking about all kinds of good stuff today.
Nothing.
If we were a morning, if we were a morning show, this would be that first 10 or 15 minute segment before we go to a commercial, you know, where we just kind of jack around and get comfortable in the mics. Except we're not a morning show, so I'm not sure why
and
we're
we don't have enough
this.
Sound effects or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. And we don't have any prank calls that we've made to the local bedroom store, or pet store, or whatever. So let's get down to it. Last time we did part one of Bad Playing Habits. Today we are doing part two.
Part 2B.
Yeah, part 2.2.
Yeah, I was about
2.
To say, last time we did part 2. This time we're going to do part 2 again.
Let's explain that. You guys are actually hearing take 2 of this episode. Take 1, it was a little low-key, but the bigger problem we had was at the end, Chad and I got in this completely tangential 15 to 20-minute debate.
It was like...
completely unrelated to the topic at hand.
It was like talking nice and silly stuff, and then, boom, throw down and fight.
Yes.
It was Mortal Kombat.
And it was irrelevant.
No, now they're going to want to hear that.
It was silly. It was a little bit heated. It was kind of tense. It wasn't like a fight. It was a little bit tense. And also, neither of us was prepared for it.
Yeah, no.
And so I made some points that it's like in retrospect, I don't even agree with. There's like knee-jerk kind of comments that it's like, well, and people take us over the coals too much for comments we did think through.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine about comments.
No, we were drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had about.
Which you'll hear about when we release the bonus episode later this week.
We need to release that first part as a bonus episode.
No. We are going to instead redo this in all of its beauty and wonderment. And everyone is going to enjoy it. So let's get down to it.
There is now a Fear the Boot Lost episode.
There is. Well, actually, there's a couple of them because...
no one has heard the Lost episode.
There is now a Fear the Boot Lost episode 24 because apparently on the intro to that episode, I said it was May instead of October. I have no idea why. So I just redid that and uploaded it. So if you have the episode where I said May, it's now a collector's item.
By
the
way, classic FTB.
I have that episode.
You can no longer get this. It is out of print. According to Wizard Magazine, if you still got the issue 0 coupon inside that episode, this thing's like $50.
That's right. You come up to me at a con, I'll sign it for you.
We'll sign that episode for you.
I'll sign all the data.
That's right. Your hard drive will never be the same, but it'll be worth 10 times as much.
After Adam gets done with that hard drive, you better
That's
leave
right.
it.
Your computer
the
runs
same.
Faster. Just.
Yeah.
Fast as a cheetah, if you will. A naked cheetah. On the beach. With suntan lotion.
And a puma.
So, Chad, you're up first.
Rawr.
Green boxes. Pick something off the list.
Six.
Number six, Chad has chosen bad. Oh, by the way, these are bad player habits. Chad has chosen number six, out of character distracted. People who will not pay attention to the game because they
Dan,
are too
I'm
tied up.
Pause you right there.
Okay.
Go on a completely different tangent because everybody, we were getting in the meat of this and they're listening now.
Right.
And now we're stopping them.
Okay.
Somebody asked for the lists that we were going off of these past
three
episodes. You
know, something I've been thinking about doing.
And I was told to bug you about it.
Okay. And something I've been thinking about doing, and I don't know if I want to, just because this may give people a negative impression of the show, but I think this would be funny. When I was growing up, I got a hold of these fake traffic tickets. Where basically it was like, and I can't quote these exactly because they're pretty profane, but it was like, try not to be such a bleepity bleep. It says, you know, I'm leaving you this ticket because you, and it listed all these different bad driving habits, like you park too close to somebody else, you double park, you're in a handicapped parking spot, you're not supposed to be. You could check it off and then stick it in their windshield wiper. And I was thinking about making tickets like this for bad players and bad GMs that have these points. You could say, like, you are guilty of a number 6, a number 11, and a number 15. And
hand them. You did used to go out and give out medals to good players.
Yes, we did actually used to hand out medals to players.
That's a gaming tradition we forgot to talk about.
Man, I'm glad that one went away.
We also had star charts. We had star charts at one point.
Man.
Yeah.
It was a Sesame Street?
It was like Sesame.
Maybe.
Yeah, kind of. Except in our Sesame Street, the animals wear clothes. Our Big Bird had britches.
Let's get back to the meat.
Okay. Why don't we pick a topic to just tangent?
Yeah, actually,
what did I say about drinking on the podcast? No more.
There's a great irony here, too, because the topic Chad picked was distracted.
Mm-hmm.
OOC distracted. Number six, characters that cannot pay attention to the game or podcast because something out of character is distracting them.
Like Chad? Adam taking off his sweater.
Yeah. I was just watching Adam take off his sweater when I should have been listening to you. And imagine if that was a role-playing game. So.
Right.
There you go. That's the entire topic. We're done.
Catch you guys
see you next week.
Time. All right. Let me give an example that I've seen. We have had people in our games where they are so tied to their cell phones, for example. You can't stay on topic on the game because every 30 seconds their phone is ringing. I'm a firm believer real life comes first. So if you've got your family members need to call you every so often or you need to be available in emergencies or check on your kids, I perfectly understand that. So I guess what I'm saying here with the cell phone thing, for example, is not that it should be off all the time, but you get these people, and this particularly happens when people are in a new relationship, where that phone is ringing every 30 seconds and you can't get anywhere on the game. Have you seen people distracted over other things?
Yeah, I've seen, I remember when we used to sit down to game and The Simpsons would be on. And then
TVs.
TV, yeah. Like, you know, people would be slowly showing up and we hadn't started the game and a couple of us would, we'd turn on The Simpsons. And we'd watch it, and then everybody would show up, and then, well, the local station in St. Louis runs an hour's worth of Simpsons, and then we'd be into Simpsons, and they'd run them back-to-back, and then we'd get into the next, well, now an hour worth of the game is drained down the Simpsons tube.
Yeah, and I've seen similar things. We talked about using electronics in a game, and I've seen similar things with laptops. I've seen even people bring books where we're sitting there playing the game, and somebody just got the Art of Warhammer 40,000 book or whatever, and they're sitting there throughout the game just completely engrossed in this. I guess I've never understood that because it just seems like you're kind of hanging on. Like, you've got something else you'd rather be doing, but you don't want to be left out of the game, so you just sort of straddle that fence.
Well, and I've seen it too when... And I'm guilty of this, where it's not my character's turn, so to speak. Not in combat, but like two of the characters are role-playing together.
And you're not
and
there.
Yeah, and I'm not there, and I'm not part of it. And you know what? I'm not going to be part of it anytime soon. I flip through the book, which I, a role-playing book or something like that, like, which I think is better than the other extreme of that, of people bursting in on that role-playing, where they just kind of go, you know, two people are talking and then they interject something and you have, that's when you hear the GM goes, are you there?
This is just, I guess, a moment of know yourself because I agree that I think people need something to do while they're on those downtimes. They need to be connected to their lives outside of the game, but you got to know where that line is where you can entertain yourself without being so distracted. You can't get back into the game once it picks up again.
Right.
Okay. We will keep moving around. Adam, green boxes.
I am going to pick, let's see, last time I picked 10, so this time I'm going to pick 2.
Two.
Whoa.
I don't want to do 10 again for the third time.
Wow, this whole episode has turned up on its head. All right, number two, competitive players. Players that are way too competitive.
We never have that.
Yes, we do. What are you talking about? Yeah,
we do. We're a solid team.
Yeah, we
man.
Get out of here.
We're team hold hands.
You want to arm wrestle for it?
You challenging me?
Yeah, I am.
Give an example.
We just did.
No,
that's a whole game. That's stretch that out for 8 hours. It's great.
Give us a real something's happened something, before just now.
Well, we had an entire game where, and I think we've mentioned this before. I know I've mentioned it in the forums. It's the infamous game I've ran called the Seasons game.
Okay.
The one that Melina mentioned in the ladies podcast about the zombie coming up behind the grave and whatnot.
Okay.
She really liked that part. Every single member of the team. It was a medieval game. And they were all nobility in the castle. They all had some function in the castle. Phil was the king. Adam was sort of the second-in-command prime minister type guy. And everybody, like I said, everybody fit into a different function within the castle. Every single one of them were at odds with each other. There was this great external plot and conflict going on, yet there was this huge power struggle going on amongst the characters that the characters and the GM and myself engineered. It was really, really cool. It did produce problems, though. You know, the arguments got a little too heated. And stuff.
I have seen competitive in the course of a game, but I think where it has always been worst for me is in character creation.
Oh, I don't even want to start with character
creation.
It
seems like that.
We're going to bring up one specific player, Phil, and I'm not even going to name him because I defy him to listen to the show, first off, and then second off, to call me on calling him about number three in addition to number two.
We'll get to number three shortly.
So you mean competitive in like,
competitive?
I make a character and it's this, you know, he's a gun guy and he's got grenades and this other guy's like, oh, well, I'm going to make magic guy and you could do 12 points of damage a round. Well, I could do 15 points of damage
right,
a round.
Were their objective?
Like, who cares?
If I was to define this in a phrase, it'd be a player whose objective is no longer to participate in the game, but is instead to be the best in the game. Whatever that means. Whether that means killing the rest of the party, or even something more subtle, as just, they're just going to min-max their player so they can be more powerful than the guy sitting to their left and
there's
right.
There's one way they can be the best in the game, and that's have the best, deepest, most interesting developed character.
Exactly,
but
that's
nobody
not
a, ever competes
that's
in that.
That's a good playing habit, not a bad one. We wouldn't be bitching about people that do that. So I
well, why is this annoying? I mean, it might
well,
seem pretty obvious.
You mean, why is it annoying? It's because they've tailored their entire character to beat you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a Frankenstein character.
It's not, you're not playing a role anymore, you're just trying to min-max stats.
Dude, I got 18 strength, you only got 16. When are we ever going to fight?
Yeah. We're on the same team.
I have seen the opposite extreme, where the party is imbalanced, which I feel is a mistake made on behalf of the Game Master, because the Game Master probably let one player get away with something.
What, or, like everybody plays the fighter, rogue, cleric,
and then
one guy plays the bard?
No, I mean,
I don't see what the problem with bards is.
I like bards, but
I think bards are rather fun players.
Of course you wouldn't.
I have seen something where, like, you have a party where, let's say you have four people, and three of them are everyday regular Joes, but for some reason the Game Master lets this one guy be an incarnate dragon or whatever.
I've been in those.
And, sweet.
And I've seen it reverse as well. I've seen it where you've got the party of incarnate dragons, and the one guy is like, Harold the janitor. And,
you know, who's going to clean up the mess from the incarnate dragons?
That's right. Doesn't have
Don't
a group,
be a
he
hater.
He has a shovel.
You know,
white collar elite.
World needs
bastard.
Ditch diggers, too.
They're just the places the incarnate dragons can't reach.
Oh my God.
I think it is natural for players to want to be competitive. And by competitive, I don't mean competitive as against each other. I mean competitive like the same way you talk about a competitive salary. Mm-hmm. I mean competitive as in they can get into this game and compete with confidence. But they take that to the extreme. And you can't blame them, because when you're in a game, especially if the game has conflict, part of that is how powerful your character is determines how well you do in the conflict. And just as the Game Master's job is to create enough difficulty to keep the game interesting, the players are going to try and be powerful. You can't stop it. If you drop that massive over-the-shoulder support cannon, somebody's going to pick it up and use it.
Oh.
So I understand players wanting to be competitive in that sense, but I do not understand the far extreme where all you do is you just walk around with a ruler passing it between characters trying to figure out who's got the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just don't even try, guys. I'm sorry.
Dawn? You're up next.
I'm gonna play that game. Okay.
But you do have to play this game. Pick a green box.
Okay. Let's see.
Not two and not six.
Let's do number seven. Poor attendance.
Seven. Poor attendance.
That's something I have been guilty of.
I would put this one as the same kind of fence straddler. Someone's OC distracted. This is someone who really doesn't have time for this game, mm-hmm. but doesn't want to be left out. So they will insist on being a part of it.
Right.
And if you try to exclude them, it's this huge interpersonal drama. That, well, I want to be there, and it's important to me, and I'm going to be there, but then they never are.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this happen a lot. I've had many games die recently to this, where players are harping really bad they want a game, but then if the wind shifts direction, they cancel.
Yeah.
I mean, anything comes up, they make no attempt to really make it even a weak priority in their
life. I've had an absentee player who was sitting in the same room while we gamed with us. Yes, we've all looked on.
I was guessing.
And I had to make a rule, because we all sit around the couches and the coffee table when we game. I had to make a rule that if you're gaming, you have to sit at the couches. Because she had a habit of kind of wanting to observe and sit back.
It's because I'm beautiful.
Well, maybe it's
your
stink.
Yeah, you do look better from
the
back.
Whoa.
I'm pretty.
But anyway, you would want to sit at your computer or something like that. Or maybe you just had a long day and you were tired and you just kind of wanted to sit away. And then every once in a great while, you'd interject things. So, yeah, I had to make a rule. It's like if you're gaming, you're at the couches.
If you are someone who is the poor attender, I'm going to give you a little rule of thumb. If you cannot make 3/4 of the games, I think you need to ask yourself. I mean, if you're missing half the games, more than half the games, I think you need to ask yourself honestly, look, do I have time for this in my life right now? And you probably need to ask your group, hey, do you guys care if I come in and out this much? Or say to your game master, look, I'm going to be coming in and out a lot. Give me a character who's kind of only peripherally involved. So if I'm not here, because man, it's, you know, once again, real life comes first. If you got to be home because there's a problem with your kids or work called you in, I have no beef with that. I'm not one of these people says, oh, game's got to come first. And I mean, that's stupid. Life's much bigger than RPG. It's not much bigger, but a little bit.
Because this is a hobby.
Right. You know? It's a good hobby. It's a hobby you have to invest
it's
in.
It's the only hobby worth playing.
You guys clearly just don't have enough dedication to this hobby. Get off this podcast. I'll find some real gamers.
If you cannot make it any kind of a priority in your life, you got to understand that the role your character plays in that game, whether it's something as big as plot involvement or even something as little as just combat balance of the group, you're the healer, for example, mm-hmm. you are disrupting things by never being there. So make sure your group's cool with that.
And how do you feel about somebody coming in occasionally? Like where you make a deal with a person.
I don't have a problem with that.
You have a solid group and maybe they play one of the characters, attendants or servants.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I don't know if I'd do that, but I don't have a problem with someone who's a peripheral player as long as they're honest about it. As long as they admit, look, I'm not going to be here that often. And because I'm not going to be here that often, I understand that to involve me, you can't make me the number one player in the party. I'm not going to get the same attention or the same amount of story tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
So is it all right if I just play somebody's bodyguard or a soldier in the retinue or I play whatever the case, even just the wizard who just comes and goes as the party wanders from place to place, I would not have a problem with that.
Now, here's something that I've seen that I really dislike. What do you think about it? A substitute player? You have a guy who's in and out and in and out, and you have somebody who you can call up and say, hey,
to play their character.
To play their character.
No.
I've seen it.
No. And
what travesty is this?
I have no problem with them taking over NPCs or reverting PCs to NPCs. Character passing between players is difficult enough as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of out of scope of this podcast to talk about. But player pass or character passing on a consistent basis,
well,
just like
I think
flipping back and forth.
Character
pretty
pass,
soon the character becomes so schizophrenic.
Well, character passing in a game like we try and promote on this show, which is deep story and characters and plots and stuff.
That's true. If it's a dungeon crawl,
if it's a dungeon crawl, yeah. I mean, everything you need to know is right on that piece of paper.
Right.
So
a dungeon crawl, what do you need a substitute for?
It just strikes me if you have a substitute, you know, you say, well, okay, the way I interpret and play this character, a phrase I've used in the past, everyone sees the world through the fishbowl of their own eyes.
That's your new Shades of Grey.
Actually, I haven't used this one longer in Shades of Grey, if memory serves. But
memory serves.
You used it twice, the podcast we just trashed.
Beautiful. It was gold. I've made a terrible mistake. But anywho, if you pass it back and forth, everyone's going to interpret that character a little differently. They're going to see it in their own way. So let's say you pass it to me, and I think, well, because of this guy's background, he's going to be really angry about something. Whereas when you play him, you're like, no, because of his background, he's going to be really afraid or depressed about this issue. And if you have that kind of a shift happening at one point in history, like you move to Phoenix and I take over your character, okay, you can adjust to that. You can just say, all right, it's just a different person now. But it's like on a game-by-game basis.
Right.
You know, well, this guy's in the party because you got angry and beat him up and took him prisoner. Well, prisoner, why would I do that? I'm a pacifist. This depresses me. I'm really, I can't believe I took him prisoner.
I kill myself.
Yeah, I kill myself. Or
that's really deep. What an interesting character.
But I think it would hit the point of absurdity to do it on a regular basis. So, no, you said you've seen someone do this?
I was the person that got called up to sub in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was awful. And it was, but it worked because it was a ROLL playing game.
It satisfies me for the Okay. If it was a combat game.
Yeah, it was nothing but combat.
ROLE playing game. I was going to say that the story still has a happy ending, because I know you have done such sufficient damage to their character that they would have paid.
Or at the very least, the character sheet.
They would have paid for their non-Fear the Boot compliant role-playing techniques.
Oh my god.
They were not FTB 9000 compliant.
An agreed-upon set of standards.
Oh.
And you can label campaigns as FTP compliant.
Oh, my God.
Or not.
FTP 9000 compliant standards.
This
wow.
needs to be done tomorrow.
And to think people called us elitists.
I know. I'm going to call up the International Standards Organization and have a chat with them about this. Say, we need an ISO number for
Fear the
Boot compliance.
We can get an RFC for FTB.
Ooh.
We can just start our own organization. We'll be like the WC3.
Okay. Dan, pick one of the green boxes. Okay. I will pick number 10, eating. This one is a huge personal pet peeve of mine. I understand when you come to the game,
you're just not talking about Doritos, Cokes, and McDonald's.
I'm not even necessarily talking a full meal. So let me explain what I mean here. Let's say, for example, you have someone who's playing right after getting off work. I don't have a problem with that person running through a sandwich shop or a fast food place, grabbing some food, bringing it back, and eating it before the game.
Yeah.
I don't have
or even having a Tupperware full of lasagna.
Yeah, a Tupperware
lasagna,
full of lasagna they're going to heat up. I don't have a problem with someone throughout the course of the game snacking on popcorn, Doritos. I am talking about two kinds of things. Thing number one is where someone is eating a full meal during the game, where you're trying to role play with them, you're trying to stay on topic, there's all this drama building, and yet they're sitting there with a fork and a knife, working their way through a steak and mashed potatoes. And every time you want to roleplay, it's like, all right, the guy runs up, he puts a gun to your head, he says, explain yourself now, he's about to pull the trigger, what do you do?
Hold on, just for a second.
Let me get a drink. Okay. Hang on. Salt. Okay. I tell him I didn't do it. And this just wrecks roleplay for me.
Yeah.
The second kind of big problem I have with this
the
is...
Full bird turkey.
Yes. I had somebody come to one of my games once. They brought with them, and none of this was prepared. Okay, this all had to be prepared.
Like all raw meat, all separate, all had to be combined.
Fried chicken, corn, mashed potatoes.
Gravy.
Mashed potatoes. Yeah, you know it was. You know it was gravy on everything. And I want to say there's some other side
apple
dish
juice
in there. Yeah, and something else. And here's the problem with this. First of all, this takes a huge amount of time. Secondly, this also goes back to what we said last time, which was number 11, bad guest. You're now imposing yourself upon this household.
You're using their water, their dishes.
With all the pots
oven
and pans. Yep. By the time it's done, the kitchen looks like
somebody,
obviously, you cooked a meal.
Yeah.
And it's the equal mess for somebody cooking the meal.
At least have the decency to make some food for them, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that is different if you show up early with the promise of cooking food for everyone.
Or even if you say, look, hey, I'm coming from work. For whatever reason, I'm on a special diet because of a health problem or because I'm trying to control my weight. What are cases? So I can't stop by McDonald's. I need to run by Schnucks, pick something up. Is it all right if I come to your place early? You know, I'll cook the stuff, clean it. Just be a decent house guest, number one. Call these people and ask. And secondly, even aside from being a decent house guest, be a decent gamer. Don't derail the game.
Right.
Don't take an hour out of the game to cook this meal, and don't take 30 minutes out of the game to eat this meal.
Mm-hmm.
So wait till you start heavy gaming with John. His mom cooks things.
Oh, my God. His mom, he has to share his car with his family.
Right.
So he doesn't have it all the time, and sometimes his mom would drop him off. and his mom would come in behind him, and we'd be like, oh, hi, Mrs. Grana. And she'd be like, I brought food! And here's two trays of lasagna. Oh, honey, could you run out to my car? I got a whole thing of brownies out there for you, too.
It was the greatest thing ever.
And she had salad.
And here's salad, because I know some girls came with you, too, and they don't want all that lasagna. And then she's like, here's some swag from my work. Here's some cups and pins and stuff.
Oh, let me ask you a question.
This is the greatest woman ever.
Why are we gaming at your place? What is wrong with us? John's in Rome, but that's got nothing to do with us.
I'm sure his mother's looking for a
story. The only time, have I ever seen something like that?
Oh, and this happened multiple times.
I've seen it a couple times. There was a time, and I think this was a while back, where Carla has these spices from Venezuela that you had it actually at the barbecue, the Venezuelan spices on that piece of beef. She made steaks or hamburgers or something with these Venezuelan spices for everyone. There was one time she made a soup for everyone.
It was a cocaine encrusted steak.
It was. We were jazzed afterwards. We played an 8-hour game in 2 hours. It was
awesome.
Crazy.
And then cleaned the house.
Dice could not roll fast enough. And then we all stopped and cried for about 20 minutes, and we weren't sure why. But yeah, I can't say I've seen too much stuff like... Actually, the only other time I can think of something like that happened is... And it didn't happen, but we were talking about gaming at a friend's house who was an Orthodox Jew. Mm-hmm. And because they're an Orthodox Jew, we could not bring our own food in there. Obviously, a cheeseburger from McDonald's is not exactly anywhere even vaguely in the same neighborhood as kosher.
Yeah, it's not even kosher, and you can't even put it on a plate where kosher food is eaten.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So what they said was, they said, look, you know, we have these kosher standards. We realize you guys aren't Jewish, so if we game here, we will cook you food to eat. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, was a pretty cool way of accommodating. Everyone was accommodating to that, and that worked out great. Didn't actually happen.
Oh,
but
no falafels?
No falafels, no matzo balls, no. But we had talked about doing this, so that's another example I can think of. Chad, it's back to you.
He has to turn to look at the board.
Left up there is 3, 5, 8, 10, 15, and 17.
Oh, okay, here's this. How about we do 15, because this is the topic that sparked the fiery debate between you and I.
All right, but let's keep this on topic this time.
Oh, the debate was on topic. It was too on topic.
Well, trust me, I'll stop you.
No, because we got into GMing techniques. That was the side tangent. We got into GMing.
Yeah.
This is a player thing. Not GMing, players.
Players,
number 15, players who are overly loot-focused.
Terrible. Let's move on.
Let's define, because I think you and I agree on this.
All right.
On the player side, you and I agree. On the GM side, we disagreed. Player side, we agree.
No, this is a bad player thing. Well, what are we talking about GMs for?
Well, okay, here's the thing. It's like,
I'm
you could say
creating
this,
a hedge, a defensive wall around the
you
GM
You could say
topic.
That this is a GM thing, because it's the GM who brings out the items. He will run a Monty Hall campaign, or he won't. But what we're talking about is about a player who wants the magic stuff. They go into the dungeon. That's all they're after. That's the only reason why they're here.
You walk in.
It's a sci-fi game, and they're the mercenary, and it's all about the money.
Right. You have sworn your allegiance to this king. You're all wonderful and noble knights. You walk in. The king's standing there. I have a mission for you. What's he wearing? I cast detect magic on his crown.
Is it a magic crown? Well... Okay, he's a king. All right. Sure, it's a magic crown.
You're staying the night in a tavern. What do you guys do? Okay, well, I'm over here playing an instrument. I'm picking pockets.
Yeah.
The people where there is no character, all they want to do...
They're a loot magnet.
Yeah.
That's all they want.
Or they sit there and beg all the time.
Oh, the begging. That's the one I
hate.
I want a
plus two sword. My sword sucks. I want a plus two sword. Blah, blah, blah.
Can I have some winged boots?
Yeah.
Hey, did you see those boots? The boots... had wings.
And they flew into your heart.
Yes!
And
my character didn't want them.
Flew into
I
the
wanted
toilet.
Them.
Yes. Yes, it did. I think we got into this on the last one, though, about the winged boots and the begging,
we
the banshee
talked that
begging
one to
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't need to get that too much. But overloot focus.
Well,
your character is bigger than his equipment list.
It's one of those things where you make a character who background of the character, the story of the character, the personality of the character, and how you play the character is completely overshadowed by something else. It could be competitiveness. It could be wanting to fight all the time. It could be never wanting to fight. It could be loot. It could be anything. that just overshadows the meat of what a character should be.
Right.
Which the story and how you play him and the personality.
The person and the persona. That's your what you're taking out.
The role in the role play.
I really don't understand how you guys get into an argument about this because you agree on this topic.
We do. But we got into is this Chad GM then asked.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand.
Should a GM do X? I'm not even going to review this.
I don't understand how bad user habits turned into should GM do this?
Well, because Chad just asked the question.
And we had about two pitchers of beer in
his story. Yeah, I remember.
That O'Fallon Gold was some great beer. But Chad just asked the question. He said, how much of this do you think is caused by the GM, and should the GM do X, Y, and Z, which I'm not even going to repeat to avoid the same debate.
I know how to solve the king's crown problem. Make it a mind-reading crown. That way the king knows that you're sizing him up.
Double points for the GM who's clever about it.
Yeah. Or the GM who fights jackass with jackass. Adam, you're up 3, 5, 8, and 17.
Well, I will continue my round of Phil bashing and move right on to number 3.
Number 3, cheaters.
No!
Phil? Phil, you cannot possibly have rolled an 18 for every single attribute.
No, dude, I did.
Just like competitiveness, the biggest place I see cheating is not during the course of the game. I've seen it during the course of a game where people, for some strange reason, everyone rolls their dice in front of the other players except this one person who rolls always off to the side and reports an inordinate number of 20s on 2d6. But the one I see more commonly is, like you said, the guy comes to the... I rolled my character up at home.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, you didn't.
No.
You got the best
not
dice.
Not for this game, you didn't.
Really? That's awesome. There's my NPC. Go ahead and roll up your character.
In fact, that's Baron Von Badass.
We have found two simple rules that have helped eliminate almost completely cheating. Rule number one is everyone makes a character somebody else watching. And see, that's the key to this. Because if you single out one guy in your group who's a cheater, if they've got that kind of personality, they're not going to admit it. They're going to be like, they're going to swear up and down that they are not a cheater. You're accusing them unfairly. So what you do is you make a rule for everyone. Everyone has to do it. You're not picking on anybody. Everyone must roll their character with one other person who you trust watching them. You cannot roll a character at home. The second thing we found works is everyone rolls their dice on the table, middle of the table, in front of everyone else. And something that helps even more is everyone uses the same dice. So that way, if there's a chance someone has loaded dice or even just unusually lucky dice, everyone is either benefiting or suffering from the exact
lucky dice. They glow, they float, they spin on their own. The dots have eyes.
Think of it this way. No die in the world is perfectly manufactured.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't there a conversation about this on the board?
Yeah, there was. It was the gaming tradition one where Chad's talking about how you used to put the highest number up, and Dan still does that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what? Dice training?
Yeah, dice training.
Dice training, yeah. Hell yeah. You gotta train your dice. And Adam, you've seen how I rolled in these games. You should know by now it works. You should be a believer. You don't train your dice, and how do you do?
I'm the worst roller in the group.
Exactly.
But you know what? I don't cheat. Dice training is cheating.
Dice training is not cheating. No. Dice training to cheating is like exercise to steroids. This is practice. This is rehearsal. This is not cheating.
Let the dice know what they're supposed to do.
I have only once, in one game, in all my years of gaming, I've only once seen someone actually whip out
loaded dice. Yeah.
And I guess you could throw into that same category dice that like have sixes on every side, or any kind of trick dice. Yeah. I have only seen it happen once.
And I got to tell you, too, when you roll trick dice, unless there's like some sort of super high-tech $1,000 trick dice that I've never seen, when you roll trick dice, you can tell. If you are a role player or played tabletop games or even gamble, and you've seen how dice scatter across the table, it doesn't look natural. How they kind of tilt up
and then slam back.
And then slam
and even
back
when
down
they hit down, they just kind of bounce and slide in a really unusual
way.
Yeah,
it just looks
because
different.
One side is really heavily weighted.
Right.
It's not a balanced die, which is obviously the point. I mean, pretty simple stuff here. Mm-hmm. And that's why it doesn't look right. And I don't think he rolled it more than a couple times before I caught on pretty quickly that this guy was using loaded dice. And so I just loaded the game. 20 slightly annoyed NPCs became a rioting mob of 200 NPCs,
yes.
Where no amount of perfect rolling was going to save you.
Also, the stuff-eating grins they had on their face was kind of a giveaway,
yes,
too.
The poo-eating grins. Dawn, 5, 8, and 17.
Okay, let's see. Oh, I like this one. Number five, just wants to fight all the time.
Man, Phil, you are just taking a beating today.
I love how you guys don't name names. But you know what? I'm not above that.
You know what? If we do make these little you're a bad player because checklists, I mean, I can just see it. You're just going to take a great big magic marker and run it down the sheet and then hand it to Phil.
No, I'm not even going to hand it to him. I'm just going to tape it to his door Phil, one morning.
I love you. I'm not being mean to you.
Yeah, like Phil, I love you too. Thesis. You're a great guy.
The furry porn has warped his mind.
It's not you.
He doesn't love you because you're not a wolf.
He doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, I know. That's why we can pretty much fire away. You know, you don't listen to these podcasts either, which is why we can talk about how you like furry porn.
So anyway.
Cheaters. Wants to fight all the time. We're past you. This is kind of like competitive. And this is kind of like loot focused. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you bring those two together.
Yeah, but it's not the same because you.
They don't care.
You just actually just want the action. You don't even care about the loot. You don't care about, you know.
Or the outcome.
But it's the one focus that is not the game.
I have seen this a lot from impatience, where you put them in a situation that requires thinking or role-playing to work through, or should require thinking or role-playing.
They just want to
beat down the door. That's why I bought a sword.
Yeah, and they don't.
They just want to hit things.
Yeah, this old lady walks up to you and claims that the chair you were sitting in is actually hers. Yeah, I kill her.
I spent 8 gold on a sword. By God, I am going to use it.
Okay, your part, all the group except you has just gotten arrested. They're in a jail. All right, should we plan to get them out? No. I'm just going to kick down the front door like I'm the Terminator with a machine gun and start shooting.
Oh, my God. I had my players go to a castle. And I had this whole scene planned out. And Phil was the knight, right? He was the warrior. And it was like a D&D type thing. The castle was under siege, right? So you have this castle.
Oh, my God.
You had catapults going back and forth, flame arrows, thousands.
The army.
Thousands. And it's like, okay, you guys kind of see this. And my whole plan was that they were going to have to, like, infiltrate into the castle, right, sneak
for,
in.
For visual image here. Battle of Helm's Deep with all humans.
Right, exactly. They're up on a hill. Nobody's seen them. Phil's on a horse. Okay, what do you guys do looking over? Phil stands up, finger pointing, and he says, I attack them! You what? I attack them! And then we go for 10 solid minutes trying to get from him, are you joking? Are you serious? You're not really serious. You're really serious.
Oh, he was serious.
He was deadly serious.
Tell him the angle. This is what kills me.
Well,
it's the logic.
I asked him. It's just like, dude, it's thousands of pissed off armed soldiers. How? And you're one dude. How can you possibly expect to win? He's like, I'm going to attack him from behind. Element of surprise. What? Ow! My brain! What? I'm done. I don't even want to go there anymore.
God, I love gaming with Phil.
Oh, painful. I wouldn't let him do it.
I haven't gamed with Phil enough to see this. I have seen this with other players, though. And it's, in my experience, usually just frustration.
Yeah, it is.
And I've seen, at times, people just break down because they're too frustrated by an NPC. They've tried too many angles, can't get through it. They think even planning's taking too long. We spent the past hour talking about how to break into the jail. Let's just shoot our way in. Who cares anymore?
With Phil, it's a matter of...
And I guess I wouldn't put frustration, though, in the same category as players who want to fight all the time.
Yeah. Well, with Phil, though, you have to remember, God love him, the man's a power gamer. He wants to play the most powerful character who can kill people the hardest and bring it the toughest and just rock all the time. And when he starts a game, he wants to start fighting and planning on fighting and just be this big badass. He wants to be Baron Von Badass.
It's Dawn.
What?
Roll initiative. The time, not you.
it's morning.
Never mind.
Anyway, and we are not that kind of game. We role play, R-O-L-E play. We have characters, feelings, emotions, all that sort of stuff. Phil just isn't there for that. He sits, he waits patiently, he sometimes not so patiently, and he just wants to fight. He wants to bring it to the fight.
I really don't understand the virtual flexing.
I don't understand it either. But we're just not into that. I don't understand furry porn either, but, you know.
You know,
I don't judge. Apparently not.
I've actually been asked to sit in on a cross-podcast, like, episode. This probably won't be run on Fear the Boot. We may link it, but this is not going to be another Shaken Not Stirred thing. So everyone,
thank God.
Everyone settle down and close your web browsers. But
I have to settle down and close my own.
I am going to be sitting in on a kind of like a roundtable discussion with a bunch of guys from other podcasts. And the topic they have selected for this is psychology of role-playing. And I don't want to get into that because that's way off topic for this. I don't want to steal their thunder either. But what they're going to be talking about is stuff like this. Like, why do people do that? Why do people act out power fantasies?
Small wiener.
Well, I'm hoping our conclusions there will be.
Oh, I'm
a little
sorry,
more...
I didn't mean to steal their thunder. I might edit that out.
I'm hoping
that
our
rhetorical question that you answered with wiener.
I'm hoping our conclusions will be a little more academic than that.
It was a rhetorical question that I answered with truth.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I don't, you know, and I guess some people could ask in return, you know, when I sit down to a role playing game, what I sit down to get out of it is the deep experience of playing an imaginary person in an imaginary world. And people would ask, well, I mean, why do you do that? What's the attraction to that? Obviously, there's some kind of personal dimension that I'm working out there. So, I mean, how is that really any different, I guess, from working out a power fantasy? Maybe it's not.
I know. You know what I just thought about that? Is here I am ripping on Phil for make-believing something. When I'm make-believing something completely different, that's no better or worse.
See, for me, how we role-play, it's all about the intellectual stimulation. It's all about the sort of mental snobbery of getting around with other people and telling stories.
Right.
And seeing how people interact with my stories. With power gamers, it's about building yourself up. It's about this ego thing, the sort of Freudian ego.
It's Diablo.
Thing. Yeah.
You kill as many monsters as fast as you can and gain as many levels and as much loot as fast as you can. I guess the one thing I would say, and we have been described, and I think this is an accurate description, that our...
As elitist?
No, that our, yeah, our
that's
view...
That's pretty accurate.
Our view is that there's no such thing as bad fun.
Right, right.
And I agree
totally
with that.
Agree.
I mean, assuming your idea of fun isn't a drive-by, there's no such thing as bad fun. But
I don't know.
You do have to admit, one thing you have to admit, and so if you've got six people together that are power gamers, you love the dungeon crawls,
yeah,
the Temple of Elemental Evil is the pinnacle of your gaming experience, there's nothing wrong with that.
We might poke a little fun at it.
But yeah, but there's really nothing
no,
wrong at it.
Go for it.
But you do have to admit that the style...
When you have five people who are into emotional sort of storytelling role-playing and one guy is into bloodthirsty power
work.
Gaming...
Sure, it there's, does.
It does. You have to make
healers.
It work. Yeah.
Four healers to heal him as he cleaves
it's
his
like,
way through the
thousand... It's make like it. Having a guy walk around stage holding up a Penthouse magazine during a Shakespearean play.
But when he does role-play, he's so outrageous. And it's,
I think that's
it's
what
a
I like
outrageous.
Playing with Phil, because
yeah.
it's like you know things are going to happen.
Yeah.
We rag on Phil as an absolute necessity to our group.
He drives
because
things.
Left to our own devices, we never do anything.
We would just
2 hours of planning for Phil to drive up, kick the door in, and shoot someone.
Because we would just stand around, hug each other, and talk about our feelings. Whereas
what?
He would actually go and rescue the maiden from the dragon.
I don't know. Why not the dragon from the maiden?
Wow. Well.
Yeah, that's one of,
you drago feminist.
That's one of the things I do kind of miss from our gaming in the days of yore was the amount of tableside role playing. Do you remember like back games way back when where we'd have
no, I don't remember.
We'd have probably not, but we'd have two people go off to the side. We'd have two people go off to the side and role play completely aside
yeah.
outside of the game, and they could go half an hour like that.
Yeah,
just not the game master really was just there for story. Was never there to keep things going. But this is a whole different conversation for a whole
wow,
different podcast.
Wow, you guys
podcast.
Were hippies.
You have no idea.
And you guys didn't even smoke. It's time to move on to the next topic.
By hippie, you mean people that had great role-playing games, then damn
with
it.
Wonderful maps.
And long
and
hair.
Props.
And props.
Props, that's right. It is my turn. What is left up there is 8 and 17, and I'm going to choose 17 because this one makes me mad. People who can't freaking roll their dice right.
Mech bowling.
You have a problem rolling dice.
Let's start. Oh. Let's start with what we call mech bowling. Oh, for example,
$15 lead fig with lots of little flanges radar dishes on it.
We're playing BattleTech on a pool table, full size pool table. Have like one or two combat maps in the middle. And if you've played BattleTech, you know these combat maps.
If you haven't played BattleTech,
there's something wrong with
turn
you.
Turn off the computer now.
Right.
Go out and play.
But a BattleTech combat map isn't more than 2, maybe 3 feet in the longest direction. They're not that big. And here you have this huge table. You've got 2 six-sided dice to roll. You could roll anywhere on this table you pleased, including in, oh, for example, the upright box lid we have sitting there for you to roll your dice in. So where do people roll it? Straight down the middle of the map, which has cardboard chits and stand-up counters that, mind you, a good breeze would knock these all over, and they just shoot these dice straight down the middle of the map.
Dude, dramatic effect.
Every Sweet. Time. Every single time. They went straight down. We call this mech bowling because that's all it was. You just shoot your dice down the middle of the map, see how many mechs you can knock over. So I had to enact rules that if you knock a mech over with the dice, your mech falls and takes falling damage. It was the only way I could stop this.
Oh, that's evil.
It was awesome.
Nobody would stop doing this.
How many mechs did you have fall down, Chad?
Couple.
Now, let's talk about a habit even worse than mech bowling with can't roll the dice right.
Oh, I love this one.
Dice masturbation.
Oh, tick, 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 tick.
Yes, where someone takes the die or dice, holds them in their hand, and keeps shaking it in their hand repeatedly, making a motion. Use your imagination. You know the motion.
The fap, fap, fap motion.
Just keeps shaking and shaking. It's, all right, this is a big roll. All right, come on. I need a 20. Come on. All right. Okay, give me a second. Okay.
God, this sounds like real sex.
I'm almost there.
If I miss this, oh man, just roll the freaking dice. What is wrong with you?
Cut the foreplay.
It's effectively random. When you throw that die, whether it's one shake or 15 million, the effect for the rest of us is the same.
Yeah, but how does she feel about that?
I asked her. She's not impressed.
This She's is why like, you're playing role-playing games.
Baby, I need two D30s.
I never understood this, because dice rolling is like the simplest part of role-playing, yet so many people can't do it right. This is like you go to a fine dining restaurant. I'm not concerned about whether you can identify the 15 forks to your right and left. Can you chew with your mouth closed? Can you stop wiping your hands on the tablecloth or the jacket of the guy next to you?
No. I gotta be me.
Is there any other deck? Because I thought we had a couple as we talked about this before. We had one or two other dice rolls.
Dice training.
No. That is magnificent. Dice training is magnificent. You bad roller.
There's little ones like rolling a die, and every single time you have a table. It's the table is a certain size.
They still
and
fall
every
off the
time
side.
The person just launches
yeah,
them
they shoot off the
table.
Other side of the table.
Guess what? It's role playing, not Vegas, people. Just roll the dice.
If and you role play around a craps table, that's pretty cool.
That is cool, and I am jealous.
And if your game master has that little thing you use to reach out and pull the dice back, throw as hard as you can. When you're sitting around a coffee table, you don't need to do that.
Man, I'm putting one of those things in my basement.
Your dice are not impressed by impact. They really aren't.
What about those people who will only play with a certain die and they can't find it? They're like, oh man, I've got to find it. I just can't deal with it. I can't deal with this. I got to find this die.
That's one thing that I dislike, although I haven't run into it too much.
I know a lot of people have, you know, their own special dice and everything.
But dice like superstitions. Dice training would be the mild version of it. But they can only play with these certain dice. And, you know, they all have to be faced a certain way, and they all have to be lined up in some ley line pattern on the table.
There's a whole thread on the forum about this.
Yes,
is there?
Yes. And then what's great about the thread is that a statistician who listens to our show gets in on it and is like, are you people insane?
And somebody goes, well, I did take a bunch of dice and roll them a certain amount of times, and I did find one dice that rolled better.
Yeah, see,
than
you know
the
what?
Other.
I can respect that.
You got to play, you got to bowl with 150 dice in it, but you need that one die, and so you spend 20 minutes rattling around in it.
I put statistics and die superstition in separate categories, the same way I put like
truth and lies.
The same way that I would put like wavelength and color theory in one column versus the experience of beauty in another.
You don't.
They're both true.
Yeah, let's just
let's push through.
Yeah, let's finish this.
Push through. Now we're back to the furry porn. Done. Or, Chad?
Yes.
You get to pick, because the only one left, number 8.
I pick 9.
Again?
No.
Lawyering.
Well, we already did lawyering.
8.
8. Resists the story flow or constantly disrupts the GMing. This is the type of player we talked about in bad GMing. Let's go back to the map example. We talked about in bad GMing how, like in the Star Trek games we used to run, there were these maps. And this was a super limited and super stupid idea on my part. But similarly, the players, they knew there was no plot outside of these maps. If there was, I'd have drawn something outside of the maps. They knew there was nowhere to go and nothing to do outside of where these maps went. Yet their one and only goal from the moment go to the moment we had to leave and go home was, how do we get off these maps?
Well, yeah.
And now, this is kind of a ridiculous example.
It's
like
a great unknown.
This was a bad setup in general. But I've seen this even recently, where somebody knows the plot is in one particular direction. I'm not talking about somebody who strays a little bit because they're playing their character. I'm talking about somebody who knows the plot's in this direction, but they're just being a jackass about it. They're just trying to be disruptive. They won't play along. They're mad because their character got knocked unconscious in the last battle. So now they're pitching a hissy fit, and their character will go anyway but forward. Or,
well, stop knocking me out.
I haven't done this to you.
Am I done to you?
No, I'm really just trying to resist the story flow of this topic.
Good job.
That's
I'm
great.
I'm destroying your hosting.
That would have been a wonderful object lesson if, you know, it'd been even vaguely apparent.
Yes.
But, you jerk.
That's okay. A novel is written. Anyway.
A chicken is a bird.
A chicken is a bird.
Can we move on now?
Thinking a thought. What's some other ways that people disrupt the plot, disrupt the flow? I think in character creation, you can kind of do that. We have the example of, everybody's playing D&D type game. Everyone's playing heroes. The idea of the game is that there's going to be a long journey, probably to throw a ring in a volcano or some completely original fantasy topic. And, you know, everybody's like a warrior and then a rogue, a cleric, and it's that. And the one guy, and this is a real game, was a merchant. Or not a merchant, I'm sorry, he ran an inn. He's an innkeeper. Fat, old, slow.
This was a game that, unless this happened again.
No. This is the one you're thinking of.
Okay, yeah. And yeah, he wouldn't go anywhere.
He wouldn't go.
He wouldn't leave his inn.
Yeah, because he owned
an
inn.
And even when he was going to, it was a neat character.
Because
yeah,
it was
a
great character.
He had written in a lot of interesting weaknesses. Like, he was a fat, middle-aged old man. He was not in any traveling shape.
Yeah, he had a daughter, and he had this history and stuff. And then the first game, we all geared up. We're all ready to go. We all have our characters and our stories, and we're all ready to roll down the road.
And he wouldn't go anywhere.
And then it's like, well, I'm staying at the inn. And we're like, even the game master was like, you're what? Well, I'm not going to leave my daughter's here, my story's here, and I'm too old to travel. And
why aren't you playing your daughter?
Well, we tried to work with him. You know, it's like, okay, maybe he just wants to role play this out. And, you know, eventually we have to convince him to come with us, and he's conflicted.
Yeah, which if that was the case, would have made an interesting bit of role-playing.
He was the rock who would not be moved.
Oh, man. I don't know how I could deal with this. I'm impatient. 15 minutes? The only way I'm going to help this dude? Slide the new character sheet on over to him.
Look, it's blank.
Here's a pencil, babe.
It's blank. You can fill out whatever you want, as long as he has two legs and can walk.
I think when we finally did have an OOC counter out of character, by the way, OOC, that means out of character.
No.
Well, this is old slang. I don't know. People may not even know this stuff. So with the old, when we had an out of character conversation with them and said, look, you know, you
Why
need
you
to come with
character?
Us. Why'd you make this character? Even then, it was always like he was huffing and wheezing everywhere we went. And
that's great.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't so bad, but I think it's about
I think that it sounds counterintuitive. I think people can get too wrapped up in their own character. They weave this character that's so deep and has such
a
personality.
Maybe that's a good number 18 is people who can't.
No.
People that can't see outside of their character.
Yeah.
People that will not make concessions for the sake of the game. That's like, well, we need to go in this town. There's nothing to do outside of town. Well, my character will not go in. Well, we're going to get on a spaceship and fly away, and you're going to be here by yourself. Well, my character would not go.
He will not budge. It's like, you know what?
Dude,
it's okay to fudge it.
It's okay. Yeah, I mean, I realize you don't want to be completely unfaithful to your character, because then what's the point of making one in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
But come on, it's the people will not make any concession beyond that character to make the game work at all.
Or that their characters are so deep and so complex and so troubled. Their character has so many problems and troubles. And it's an interesting character. It's a good character. But they have this huge web of problems that their character becomes to where they can't do anything. They can't go here because they're hunted. They can't go here because that's where their mother died. They can't do this because that's what their girlfriend who got hit in a car wreck did. They can't do, you know, they can't say these things. They're always quiet. I don't know. I think that you can go too far.
Yeah, it's a great character in your head. That's not so great when you're trying to play a game.
Well, people aren't like that, though.
Yeah.
I don't want to work, but you know what?
Yeah.
Ooh, a beep.
Editing opportunity.
Ooh, chalked it up for one.
But, yeah, I agree with you. You know, you have to be realistic. And people who are so, have so many conflicted problems to where they cannot function in society, can't function in society. They are institutionalized, or they can't do anything. You can't play.
I guess maybe there's a third topic here, and I don't know if I want to tackle this immediately. No. Third category. So we had bad GMing, bad player habits.
No, I'm done with this series.
Maybe we hit another topic category we can come back to later.
In a year?
Bad character habits. Not bad player. Because, like, if you're too loot-focused, that's not a character problem. It's a player problem.
Right.
If you're a rude house guest, that's a player problem. But talking about...
If you're a kinder... Your character problem is a pickpocketing character problem.
Right, but bad character problems.
That's a player problem, though. You don't have to play it. You don't have to play that up.
Yeah.
Which is what we just said.
Yep.
Well,
exactly.
Anyway, then that's enough for this topic. So we will catch you guys next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot. This show is copyright 2006, fully owned by its hosts. The games, movies, and other properties mentioned in this show are the property of their respective owners. Listeners are free to use the show in any non-commercial endeavor, as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com.